Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Moneybox Finance Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Ventura Securities Limited. Thank you and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to Moneybox Finance Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. The company is today represented by Mr. Deepak Agarwal, Co-founder, Co-CEO and CFO, and Mr. Mayur Modi, Co-founder, Co-CEO and CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to the co-founder of the company, Mr. Deepak Agarwal, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Good afternoon and warm welcome to everyone. We have Mayur Modi, Co-CEO and Co-CEO, and Viral Sheth, Finance Controller of Moneybox Finance Limited with us. Before I start the Q1 discussion, we would like to thank our investors who have shown significant trust and faith in our business model, leading us to announce our largest round of equity raise till date. The recent announcement of 71 crore of fresh equity raise, which is 1.6 times our existing capital of 170 crores, is significant. What is even more significant is that over 65% of the upcoming equity is coming from existing investors, which is true reflection of our success. Promoters have also subscribed to maximum permissible amount in equity through warrants, which again displays commitment and faith of co-founders in the business. The raise will not only help us meet our AUM growth targets, but will also lead us to strong returns for investors. Getting on to Q1 performance, AUM of the company increased 93% year-on-year to 746 crore, including managed book, up from 386 crore last year. Sequentially, the growth is 2.2%. And as we always say that Q1, in fact, H1 is muted for us. Our disbursements are in H1, it's typically 30% of the yearly disbursement, and H2 is 70%. We are again aiming to almost double our AUM in this financial year from 730 crores to around 1400 crores this year. Number of branches increased 53% year-on-year to 104%. As we speak, we are 113 branches, and we are on track to achieve 160 to 175 branches. Currently, we have presence in 8 states, and soon in this quarter, we will expand our presence to 12 states. We are adding 4 new states, which is Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Telangana, and Andhra Pradesh in this quarter. And we will be opening 25 branches in southern states of India, further increasing our diversification. Disbursements were up 95%. For the quarter, we disbursed 106 crore, which is 18% up versus last year. And in total, our disbursements have crossed 1,300 crores. The important part is that share of our secured loans has increased very significantly. Last year, it was only 8% of our AUM, which as on June stands at 27%. We will continue to increase contribution from secured loans, and it will be over 40% by end of 25. Total income grew 94% to 45.7 crores versus 23.5 crores last year, in line with the business and AUM. OPEX as percentage of AUM declined to 12% in Q1 compared to 13.3% in Q1 of last year and compared to 12.7% in FY24. So you will see that OPEX has declined over half in last 3 years, which was 25% as percentage of AUM FY21 to 12% now. We are on our target to achieve around 11% OPEX this year, which I'm very confident of achieving. Now, this has resulted in company posting profit after tax of 4.3 crores in this quarter. This is despite the fact that there has been large write-offs this quarter And there are definitely in the first quarter you see employee expenses increase due to appraisals. However, AUM does not grow much. ROE stands at double digit 10% against 8.5% last year. ROE will continue to see improvement with declining cost of borrowing and declining OPEX. The company has strong unit economics as shown in the presentation, with incremental interest spread improved by 49 basis points if seen on the quarterly basis. Although you will see that on an average it has reduced, but based on the incremental cost of borrowing and incremental lending, we have improved our spread. So which is a great sign despite increasing secured business significantly. Incremental borrowing costs reduced to 12.05%. If you see that, you know, in H2 of last year, it was 13%, while our average borrowing rate is around 13.7%, but incrementally, the decline is sharp. And with increasing capital base by end of this month, we believe further in H2, we should be able to bring down cost by another 50 basis points. So we are on track to reduce. We are still high compared to larger players, which are getting money at around 10%. But I think it's a journey, and as our credit rating improves, we are sure that, you know, borrowing costs will continue to decline. Debt to equity improved to 2.7x in Q1 from 3.03x in Q1 last year, and leverage declined to 3.47%. Liquidity level remains adequate at 85 crores, which is more than 10%, so 12 to 13%. That's our target, that minimum 10% of AUM we should maintain. However, you will see elevated levels of liquidity because of upcoming equity raise. Besides the cash we maintain, we have about 500 crore per annum of co-lending and business correspondence lines which are available. Asset quality has moderated during the quarter due to sluggishness in rural economy. We had the same reasons as we had last quarter, although gross NPA stood at 1.65%. Compared to last year, it is high, but compared to last quarter of 1.54, it is almost flat. Historically, the company credit cost was less than 3%, including pandemic. And that's what we still maintain, as we always say that on unsecured, we believe credit cost to remain between 2 to 3%, and in secured portfolio, maybe up to 1-1.5%, which will mean on a blended level, we should be around 2% of credit cost and not crossing that as secured portfolio increases. Credit costs stood at 2.36% in Q1 versus 1.88% in Q4 last year. So we have taken a significant amount of write-off. But as I said, that this remains under the guidance level, which we have said that, you know, it could be between 2 and 3, but still below 2.5%. And we believe that this will only improve with time. We now have 33 institutional lenders. We added RBL last quarter, we got enhancements from IDFC, we got enhancement from Tata Capital, DCB Bank. We have in principle sanctions now from three new upcoming banks, which should close in this quarter. And with additional equity, we believe that we will have many more number of banks. So contribution from banks, you will see that, you know, will significantly increase from current levels, and which will lead to a lowering of borrowing cost here. The other thing which happened in this quarter is improvement in our credit rating by CRISIL from BBB- to BBB stable, which will now, we expect that in another 5 to 6 month time, maybe within this calendar year, we should see one more upgrade. Especially driven by increasing AUM, increasing secured lending, improving ROA, and most importantly, equity capital. So we will have net worth of more than 300 crores very soon by end of this month. This brings us to, you know, telling you the major points, which are number one, the equity raise, which is happening in this month, improvement in credit rating, secured lending significantly rising, expansion in South, which would be a major event, and the increase in secured lending. So all in all, we believe that we are on track despite some, there are definitely some external environment challenges which are driven by, you know, election season, which always happens. You have lower spending by the government. So there were, you know, environment, which is weather conditions not so fine. So that has led to some deterioration, but we believe that this is part and parcel of financial sector, and it will improve with time. Thank you for your continued support again and trust in our company. Now we look forward to the questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and please wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from Mihir Shah from Riddhi Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. We are generally very confident about our asset quality. However, like, it has deteriorated significantly over the last few quarters. And given that, like, more than 50% of our AUM is less than 1 year old and, like, 30% is less than 2 quarters old, do you think, like, is this kind of credit cost is justified, and how do you see it going further? And, like, how different is our asset quality with when compared to microfinance institutions?
Okay. So in terms of vintage, you will always see the currently 70% of businesses unsecured, which you will always find that vintage is low in that. The thing you have to see is that it's 5 years, so we have multiple repeat loans here. So that means you will have to see the vintage. So otherwise, portfolio, and as far as secured loan go, this is largely a book created in last 18 months. So, and more largely in last 1 year. So vintage will always look like that. Having said that, I would say that even in the extreme situations of pandemic, we never crossed credit cost of 3%. The peak credit cost stood at 2.7%. So we really have no reason to believe that the current situation will be worse than that. So we believe that we are seeing the peak of credit cost, which we are seeing today. And this will soon stabilize and then improve. So we personally, looking at the numbers, we don't feel that we are going to have a higher credit cost than what we have. It's already among the highest in last 5.5 years of operation. So we don't have that much concern. We are not, we are even tighter during these days in terms of underwriting. So we don't see much impact going there.
Got it. Thank you, sir. And my second question is that we are going really fast, which is really nice, but it gets me a little worried because, like, there have been many examples of finance institutions that get below.
We are growing very fast in terms of percentage, you're saying?
In terms of AUM, assets under management. But what gets me worried? Yeah, but what gets me worried is that a lot of financial institutions in the past have got trapped in the collection-related issues while growing fast. So, like, I'm sure you must have done your due diligence. So could you share some information that could give us confidence?
I think I would say that it's not that we are growing very fast. I mean, you have to see the percentage growth based on our size. Typically, you know, if you see all the larger players, you know, have a similar growth in initially, because, you know, although it looks like 100%, it's 338 to 730. It's just 350 crores. So we still believe that, and it's very, very diversified. It's not that a concentrated expansion in any one branch or in any one state. It's a very well diversified growth. And if you compare with the base impact, the percentage may look high, but overall it's not very fast. And you know, we have seen the cycles now. I mean, we have seen COVID-1, we have seen COVID-2, so it's not that, you know, the book has been tested during those times and tested during, you know, these days also. With the NFI, you will have the numbers. I think situation is much, much worse in NFI space. Whether you see NFI on a standalone basis, numbers are largely out. Or even if you see the NFI book of, you know, large banks, you know, they are stating that NFI books, you know, most people are saying 4 to 5 to 6% kind of, you know, delinquency there. So I think we are much better placed than NFI, you know, which we have always maintained that we are a one level above that. So in terms of credit cost, we have always been better than NFI, much better than NFI. But having said that, some elevated cost will be seen because, you know, it's a market. So we can't say that if industry is doing, you know, 7-8% or, you know, 5-6% of delinquency, we will not have, you know, 2-2.5% kind of delinquency. So there is some ripple impact, effect definitely. But, you know, we are trying to reduce that, and not just from this year. Last year we realized that, and that's why, you know, we significantly increased our focus towards secured lending, which would generally, you know, mock your home loan and, you know, that kind of funding in terms of, you know, credit cost. So I believe in the future we will be much better placed there.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Harsh Shah from Sumaria Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible,
Harsh.
Sir.
Yeah. Firstly, sir, congratulations on the huge equity raise. I've been tracking the company from the last few quarters, and I'm really happy with the progress and the growth that we are seeing. So, sir, my first question is, like, in the medium term, the cost of borrowing for us might come down. But the average cost of lending rate will also come down as we provide more and more secured loans. So, I wanted to understand whether both of this will be at par, or will we see any expansion or contraction of spread?
Okay, sure. So the part is, if you see our presentation for this quarter, we have also added, you know, just to answer to this question which we expected, what we have done is we have added what was the lending rate for this quarter, Q1, and what was the incremental borrowing rate for this quarter. So you will actually, to our surprise also, that our interest rates have improved in this quarter. But we have always maintained that we will have a spread of at least over 15% over a medium to long-term perspective, because this model has its own, you know, OPEX. So that will be maintained. However, if you see, we believe that given the decline in borrowing costs, we should not see any deterioration in spreads.
Okay.
And that is also, you know, visible in Q1. We will continue to give quarterly updates on how the spreads are moving quarter on quarter. But we believe that it is really unlikely that spreads will fall below the benchmark of at least 15%. I believe that it should be around 15%, and we definitely have some levers to improve spreads. If we see some deterioration, we definitely are aware wherein, you know, we can increase our, lending rates in certain areas to maintain the spreads. So today, you can, you know, really see that there is no concern regarding that.
Right. Okay. So, so second question is, like, so now that we are expanding into South, so I wanted to know, like, how do we, like, differentiate ourselves from the competitors? So I mean that the yields that we charge from the customers, like, are maybe 100, 200 basis points higher than the competitors, right? So how do we face any challenge when it comes to, do we face any challenge in convincing some customers, or like when we expand to in the south, southern region, what will be our strategy like?
Generally, Harsh, we have maintained a strategy that we should align our interest rate at par or maybe some basis point lower than the largest competition. So in unsecured loan, our pricing is not high, definitely. If you compare with the largest player in the segment, we may be, maybe 10 basis points lower or maybe at par with them. And then we have some additional, as we always say that, we have vets in our branches. We do agroforestry. Now we are doing biodigesters. So there is always some additional benefit which we try to provide. We will try to expand it. Having said that, I think the kind of market where we are, 100 basis point, say, I would agree with your point that maybe we are 100 basis point higher than the largest players in South. But I think in this market, 100 basis point does not impact much. Because in even in the secured segment, we are 100 to at least 200 basis point lower than many large players today, which are based out of North. Maybe, yes, you correctly pointed out, maybe 100 basis point higher than, some large players in South India. But that's a part of, we can also reduce it at some point in time. So it's not that it's a big concern if we face that challenge. But I believe there is market for everyone, with service levels, with some additional benefits which we bring on the table. To the end customer, it does not matter much. It's like, paying 50 rupees extra per lakh. It's not based on what the decision is taken. And that's why I would again say that when we started our business 5 years back, we were at 28% yield on unsecured loan, which currently stands at around 32%. So there's a 400 basis point increase. We don't see that, there is that kind of philosophy where we'll lose the business. So the market can absorb, 100 basis point market can absorb. But we will remain competitive. As you will see that, our cost of borrowing is declining. There is no reason that in next 2 years, I will not be borrowing at very similar rates to very, very large players. So we don't see any threat with respect to that.
So we'll pass on the benefit to end consumers, maybe as our borrowing
cost of
borrowing.
We will do that. If it is needed, we will do that. It's not that we are really tricky that we have to be a high-end company. We never think like that. And that's why I'm saying that we would like to have a approach where we are at par with the largest companies. It may take some time. On unsecured lending, we are already there. On secured, we are competitive with many, many competitors. Except one or two.
Yes, right. Okay, so one last question if I may ask. So I wanted to ask, like, what is the leverage ratio that we intend to maintain in the medium term, that now that we are having this equity raise? So what will be the leverage ratio that we intend to?
What we have guided is that at a book level, we generally try to be lower than 4x or definitely lower than 4.5x. But historically you will see that whenever we reach about 3x and between 3x and 4x, we try to bring in new equity. Now this has been a larger round. We guided to all our lenders that we would raise only 125 crore this year. But somehow, because we as promoters also wanted to take exposure this time, and we had those numbers, so we decided to raise a larger amount. So what I believe is that now we have, with this round of equity, which is, some amount will come now in August, and some 85 crores of warrants will come within 18 months. Largely, if you see that we are sorted, I'm definitely not saying that we will not raise equity next year, but with 175 crore of existing equity, 270 crore of infusion over next 18 months, maybe a PAT of, say, minimum within next 1 year of 60 crores. I mean, in terms of going to next year as well, say middle of next year, we'll have a net worth of 500 crores, which is enough to build a 2,500 crore of AUM, which we have guided for FY26. So that's why I'm saying that we are well aligned in terms of equity to reach that number. Having said that, we may go for equity raise again next year. So to answer your question, that yes, leverage would be generally expected to be below 4x on balance sheet.
Okay, sir. That's helpful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our next question comes from Manhar Rao, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So I had a couple of questions. Could you, sir, is there any number which we have on the credit cost for the secured book separately and the unsecured separately, or the GNP or NNPA for both of the books separately?
We don't prepare that, but, you know, in general, I can tell you, because, again, secured book is new book. We are not seeing a PAR which is more than, not even 1.5% there. So secured book is definitely doing better than the unsecured book. That's what I can tell you. So we definitely believe, you know, based on the guidance we have given, that, you know, we don't believe that credit cost would be more than 1.5% in secured and more than 3% in unsecured. That's our belief, that, you know, this is the maximum number which we will reach. And with the right mix of secured and unsecured, maybe around a 2% credit cost. In last 5 years, you will see that, you know, we have a credit cost of 2%. Even with 100% of the unsecured portfolio, except in pandemic, where in the one we crossed 2.7%. That's where we are, that, you know, it looks elevated now because there are market conditions which we can't avoid, but it's not like a very, very grim scenario. There are reasons with AUM doesn't grow much in quarter one, so you see some elevation there also, and then, you know, all those reasons of, you know, heat wave somewhere, floods somewhere, election season. So that's part and parcel, and some credit cycle impact. But on the whole, we are confident that what we are guiding is the maximum number which we should see.
Yeah, my second question was, sir, the 36-month vintage branches which we have. You know, the AUM per branch has decreased and the AUM has also decreased there. So we have had a, you know, degrowth quarter and quarter in our matured branches. So anything around that, sir?
No, in 36 plus branches, we have AUM of 14.5 crores.
Sir, the 36 plus month I'm talking about, the 22 branches we have about with 36 plus month of vintage, where the AUM is 318 crore and the AUM per branch is 14.5 crore. If I compare this to the previous quarter, the AUM per branch was 14.7 crore and I think it was 328 crore.
Which is just a reflection of what happens is that, because largely those 22 branches have unsecured loan portfolio, which declines faster than the secured loan. And as we say that, you know, if you see Q1, always have a very muted performance. So that's the only reason. So it's not that it's a structural. There's nothing structural. Year on year, you will see an improvement only. It's just because of, you know, Q1 being a slow quarter, that's what the reflection is. Even if you go to, like, say, a COVID year, you know, the 2 years in COVID, you will say, in fact, overall AUM actually dipped in Q1 because of no increase in disbursements, or actually zero disbursement there. So that's just a Q1 kind of scenario. There is nothing structural here.
Sir, and then sir, our 30-day, I think DPD or the 30-day, you know, risky book, I think there is a 70 basis point increase there, you know, quarter on quarter. So does this reflect that Q2 also we might slightly deteriorate a little bit more on the asset quality?
Can't say. We are hopeful that it should not. I'm really hopeful that this will actually improve when we give you the Q2 results. It should actually be lower than this. As I said that, you know, there are market conditions. Okay. So what I'm saying is that we don't believe. Yes, yes. See, quarter one, you see, you know, across industry, numbers have deteriorated in 30-plus PAR in Q1. So one impact is definitely a very low disbursement in this quarter. Other than that is, you know, you will know the reasons, you know, which all the industry data is out. There is sluggishness in the real economy. There are heat waves. There are, in some areas like Tamil Nadu, you have flood. So that's the reason. I'm completely sure that this will improve from Q2 onwards. I mean, versus a Q1, there will definitely be improvement in Q2.
One last question for my side, sir. Given that we have done a huge equity raise, so what can be the, you know, average ROE for this year? And sir, also if you could give us some idea on the collection efficiency for this quarter, and, you know, as requested in the previous con call, if this can also be, you know, put up in the presentation, sir, that would be really helpful.
So for ROE, we have already guided that it will be in double digit only. We feel that ROE should, you know, which was about 10% in last year, you know, we should see an elevation, maybe somewhere around 12% is our idea that we should see. And the collection efficiency for the month of June is above 95%. It's about 95.5%.
Yes, sir. That's it from my side. And if we could, you know, sir, put this collection efficiency in our presentation next time, maybe, or this time, that should be relevant. That's it from my side, sir. All the best.
We will do it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and please wait for your turn to ask the question. Our next question comes from Aniket Redkar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to know, how do pass-through certificate fit into our current financial strategy? Could you throw some light on this?
Hi, Aniket. Aniket, last year we did a significant amount of PTC, which is about 50 crores of PTC, which we did last year from Vibriti. We don't have any specific target for PTC. If we get, you know, it may happen in the last quarter, because I don't see it happening in the current quarter or even in Q3, but it may happen in Q4 just from liquidity perspective. If we get a very good rate there, last year we got a good structure in the PTC. If we get it same and at a reasonable cost, because now the credit rating has also improved, so we are hopeful that. So if we need to, you know, the strategy-wise, it would be either to do it with some bank, which can give us very low pricing on PTC, because with PTC, what happens is that you have a three-step upgrade on the credit rating when you do that PTC. So from BBB, you will get a AA rated on our PTC. So if you see that, you know, we can get funds at 10% on PTC, we'll go ahead. or if we get a very good structure, we may go ahead in Q4 when the liquidity requirement is high. But otherwise, there is no specific guidance per se on the PTC.
So, sir, how do you foresee this PTC in terms of the capital efficiency and the performance for the next coming couple of quarters?
PTC in terms of capital efficiency?
Yeah.
There is no particular, as I said, there are only two reasons we do PTC. One is that we can, if we are able to minimize costs, because there are three-notch upgrade to that particular product. So, you know, if I'm today borrowing at 12% and, you know, I get a deal at 10%, 10.5%, I may go for PTC. Otherwise, and for liquidity, if there is a requirement. Because of NBFC, you know, I have to use multiple sources. If there is a requirement, I will do it, but there is no specific preference for PTC as such.
Okay,
I mean, we don't believe that there is any specific capital efficiency there. It's the loan remains on your book. So the leverage is as in term loan, it's similar. So there is nothing additional with PTC other than if you can better, you get a better structure there or you get a very better pricing there and a significant, you know, price benefit there.
Okay. And sir,
I hope I am audible now.
Yeah. You're audible, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, sir, could you clarify the recent write-off and their effects on our company's financial health? And what are the measures being taken to mitigate such challenges?
Okay, if you see on a larger base, you know, as I said, that it's 2.36%, which we have apparently we have guided that, you know, there could be some cost elevation. But, you know, when you see overall, on the overall basis, you see, Aniket, we on a unsecured part, we are on a yield of 32%. So when you are running that kind of product, you can't say that my credit cost should be at par with the very high quality assets. You know, even with home loans or affordable housing, or LAP, you see that, you know, 1%, 1.5% kind of credit cost. So when you are, I mean, so what you do here as a strategy is like what we did last year, when we feel that there could be some elevation in the credit cost because of the way the market scenario is, you adjust your yield to that. So now if we see that there are particular segments, say MPC customer or some specific area where we see some elevation of credit costs, we readjust the price. So I think on a overall number of say less than 4 crore seeing at the balance sheet, it's not that high. I mean, because it's always a part of business. We cannot have a lending business without a credit cost. So yes, I'm not saying we are not concerned. We are taking multiple steps in terms of collecting that. It's been very, very high focus on collection because of the way the market is. But having said that, it's not that high that we should be. I mean, you will always have to see that, you know, it's a business. At lending at 32%, you know, the cost can come. But yes, you will have, when the lending rates are lower, you have lower credit costs. So it's still not that big a concern. I mean, whatever it is at 2.36% credit cost, which we have done, it is fine. Not that it is not concerning and we are not taking any steps, but seeing the kind of, you always have to see that, you know, we share that with bank as well. You know, when you compare the credit cost, when your yield is at 12%, then you will feel that 2%, you know, this 2.5% is high, but at 32%, it's still fine. And that's the way, because the OPEX is high, because the credit costs are there, that's why the rates are higher here.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, one more last question. What is our outlook for the next quarter and the rest of the fiscal year? I mean, is there any opportunity that you are anticipate which can influence our performance? I mean, in terms of the new initiatives, in terms of digital initiatives, or any other partnership like?
I think what we have, so what is happening on the, so there are multiple ways to look at it. On AUM, we have already guided that, you know, we are looking at a good growth numbers by year end. H2 will see the pickup because there, so what are the levers are that, you know, branches which we are developing. In Q2, you will see very significant number of branches which will come up in South and even other regions. We are already have, you know, 13 new branches. There's a very large number which is now coming. A team is hired in South. So that will play some role in H2. Considering the factors we have already guided in terms of AUM growth, the key factors for us in terms of next 2 to 3 years performance is that we have to bring down our borrowing costs, which is happening consistently. Every 6 months, you know, you will be looking at that, you know, we show some decline in borrowing costs. OPEX is continuously declining. There are digital initiatives which are happening, but I would say that they are still not that large to talk about. Our app is very good, you know, if you check that out. So that way it's doing well. We are getting a lot of leads from that. Having said that, it will still take some time in terms of, you know, business expansion.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir. This is from my side, and thank you for the opportunity. All the best, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Harshal Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening.
FY25, so as we guided, we, in terms of AUM, we believe that, you know, anywhere between 1300 and 1400 crores we should reach in terms of AUM. In terms of branches, you know, the target is to do 175 branches with the minimum number to be at 160. You know, I'm very hopeful that in terms of return on equity, you know, we should be 12% plus, hopefully. You know, with increase in equity now, so ROE should be maintained, ROE should improve, you know, more than 2% definitely. What else, you know, we are expecting definitely some decline further in cost of borrowing. It stands at 12% now. Whatever you want to borrow, you know, in upcoming months will be lower than, you know, sub-12 cost, which we are looking at. OPEX is coming down consistently. So we believe that, you know, we should say about 100, 200 basis point. At least 100 basis points for the reduction in this year. So that's the key guidance we can get now.
What caused the increase in gross NPA to like 1.65% and net NPA to 1.11% in Q1 FY25? What strategies does Moneybox have in place to manage these NPAs and mitigate credit risk, particularly in the rural economy?
So the focus has increased on collection. So till, as we said, till last year, we had absolutely no, I mean, we were not doing any legal cases. We didn't have any collection calling team. So, you know, these things are happening and we did not have a specific incentive for collection, which we have introduced, last month. So logically, there are many steps which are being taken to improve the collection efficiency. So we hope that, you know, this will bring some changes. We have seen such times in the past, so that's why we are not that negative that, you know, it looks high because even business is low in Q1 and Q2. But as you know, numbers improve in terms of disbursement, and, you know, market scenario improved, you know, Q1 definitely has been bad. And it's not just for us. It's throughout the industry. We are not different. I mean, we are no different, you know, Yes, there is underwriting which is there, but some deterioration you will see. And now, as I said earlier, we believe that things will only improve in next quarter from here. We don't see that, you know, it will deteriorate. Let's hope for the best. But always assume in lending business, some such negative can definitely come. You know, credit cycle always plays out.
Okay, thanks so much.
And the other thing which I have said is that increasing focus on secured loans, where you know, it has been proven that you know, delinquency is less, credit cost is lower. So that we are increasing. So, you know, from 6% last year to then 8% in Q1, now 27%. July it was 28%. So every month we are seeing at least a 1% incremental secured business. So that will bring in results in, you know, over medium term.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a follow-up question from Mihir Shah from Riddhi Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi. No, sir. So, I understand that we are still very small, but I just wanted to benchmark us against one of the largest players in South India. And I wanted to know your comments on these three aspects. First one being that for us, the quarter-on-quarter growth in disbursement was very low, whereas for them, it was just less than 1% of a difference. Second was that they are generally defensive, like we are more aggressive in terms of going to more states, whereas they feel that it is difficult to underwrite new states. And the last one is that even in the secured book, even in this time, they have around credit cost of around 0.61%, whereas we are guiding for 1.5%. So I just wanted to know your comments on these three aspects.
So one question is on, you know, we can't comment in terms of their strategy. So, for example, if they feel that, you know, they're well-placed in South, I think we should just respect their decision. Yes, in terms of underwriting, the documentation in South India is better, but that does not mean that you can't underwrite secured loans in Northern India or the middle part. So, as we said that we are already, with no presence in South, we are already at 30% secured book. So it's not impossible to build. It may be difficult to build. And so it's okay. I mean, every player could have a different strategy, but we have always maintained that not just the South, the South Indian player which we're talking about, take any example, whether it is whether it is the largest player, second largest player, third largest player in South, or what we have secured players in North India. Everyone has been focusing on 2 to 3 states. We have always maintained that we want to be a pan-India player. So that's the part of the strategy. So that's one thing. And I think that is working for us. In terms of growth, So there is not much difference. We have done sequentially, we are like up 2.2%. They may be up, what, 5 or 6%, where we are talking about. So which is okay. I mean, one quarter here and there does not impact much. For the same player, if you will see that, you know, what has been their growth rate in FY21 and FY22, versus us. So we were growing at 100% in both those years. They were not growing at that point of time. So I think we cannot have a quarterly comparison with competition. Different market, few things can be here and there. And in terms of when you said in terms of guiding, they are saying 0.6. See, there are players who have always had far more par, you know, at 14-15%. You can see the books where the SMA book has been around 14-15% when they were at our size. So I'm saying that 1.5 I'm guiding does not mean that we will incur 1.5%. We are saying that conservatively this could happen. We are not seeing that. Neither in unsecured loan in last 5 years we have seen a 3% kind of cost. It has always been about 1.5% excluding this year. You see all the 5 years except for the COVID, immediately after COVID, where we saw some cost. Otherwise, it has always been around 1-1.5% in unsecured category. Ideally, it should not be more than that 1% in secured loan, but who knows what it can be.
Got it, sir. When I was talking about growth, I was talking about quarter-on-quarter disbursements, where ours is down like around 60%, whereas
I understand that. I know that number. But this is fine. What I'm saying is that, you know, it also depends on the segment you're catering to. So there are multiple ways. One, that there is a geographic difference which is there. Second is that we have a, historically, even if you see, we have always said that it's a 30-70 split between H1 and H2, because today also two-thirds of our funding goes to rural, which is agri and allied. With agri and allied, when you have cattle loans, the market is slow. You have lower production within the cattle space in Q1 because of the heat, and people start taking loans, you know, starting September largely. So that's the core period, starting, you know, with the weather conditions changing, festival season coming in, and then Q4 you have all the dairy who buy large quantities of milk either to make ghee or to do making up into powder form. So that's the cycle. A large part of my business is that. So you have some, you know, versus other players, you will have some dip there. When we go to south, the current strategy is that we will have only 20% into this agri and allied, maybe 80%. So that's the plan. Let's see how it works out. But the plan is to have 20% into this agri thing and rest the balance. So you will see some bit of movement here and there. So it's also, as I said, it depends on what kind of portfolio you are building and some regional changes also.
Got it, sir. And, sir, I just wanted to get a clarification. When you say 12% ROE, which is a really positive number, do you mean it on a weighted cost or weighted equity after the fundraise, or do you tell it on the current equity?
We do it, the calculation we give is only at a weighted equity level. So generally the way we calculate is, say, for example, if I raised money on my last equity round, which I raised on, money came in on 20th of December. So when I disclosed you December numbers, I am not taking a total equity because I used that money only for 10 days. So there is a weighted average there. But having said that, now because it's August, you will see a similar number. I mean, the difference will not be much. And I'm really hopeful that our ROE would be higher than what we have given to our bankers. Because in the projections we made to our bankers, we only estimated that for the full year, we will raise only 125 crores of equity, which would be sufficient for the AUM which we wanted to build. Definitely, I see that, you know, more, you know, this time around, more money will be raised.
Got it. And, sir, I see a lot of players trying to get into micro loan against property, even microfinance and other institutions. So how do you see the competitive intensity on the ground?
Which is happening, which is quite okay. What do you do with that? There was a point when unsecured loans also, I mean, go back, you know, 4 years back or 3 years back, the same frenzy was coming in unsecured loan segment. Not every player could reach any significant book size. You will see there are many players at now 300 crore. There are players available at 600 crore and they are up for sale. So you can't say, you know, what will happen because it's a business where it's just not about entering into the space. There are SFBs I know who started this micro lab business and they discontinued after 6 months. So players will keep coming in. Even in MFI, you see every month there is a new MFI. So I think I'm wrong. Maybe every week there is an MFI sometimes. So this is just fine. I mean, execution, you know, doing this that, you know, okay, we want to enter a space is one thing, but this is a very, very execution heavy business. believe me, this is very, very execution heavy. When you have to open branches, hire a team, hire, you know, sales managers, managing them day in, day out, it's not a cakewalk. So yes, you will see a lot of announcement even by larger players, but getting into that business is not easy.
I got it, sir. And sir, one last question from my side would be that how do we take a call on the write-offs? Could you please elaborate that?
It's a simple thing, you know, for every 90 days we make a 50% provision, which is as per RBI. And after 360 days is a complete write-off. Between that period, we see, you know, based on the management call. Obviously, beyond 360 is a full write-off. Between that, we see that, you know, if there is some delinquency which we believe that it should be taken into account, we will take it. Otherwise, it's a 360-day policy for a full write-off.
But any
loan in DPD for 90 days is a 50% provision which is made.
Got it, sir. All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We have a follow-up question from Harsh Shah from Sumaria Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my follow-up. So I had just one question that what is the disbursement number that we are targeting for this year to achieve the 1,300-1,400 crore loan book size?
The target is to do around 1,100 crores.
Okay, 1,100 crores. Okay. And sir,
just to give you one perspective that in Q4 last year we disbursed 290 crores. So although the 100 crore of this quarter will look less, but you know we have so many branches in Q4, Q3, so that number, you know, today it will look impossible. But then you know, things change. Definitely there is an external environment which no one can predict, but things change.
Right. Okay, sir. And sir, just one last suggestion, like if you can give the loan book breakup that you used to give in the investor presentation, it would be helpful. Like the
which one?
Agri, so livestock customers, Kirana stores.
Okay. Fair enough. Although you will see that very soon in our annual report, which will come out.
Yes, that
we can give. That's not a problem. We can give that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the very best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. That was the last question. Now I hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
I would just say that, you know, thanks a lot for the continuous support. We are really, you know, God has been kind, and we really appreciate the kind of support which we have got, you know, throughout. We have been to some extent, you know, taken a different route to this because, you know, generally it's all the way company grows is, you know, being private, raising from VCs. We have been fully, because from day one we are listed, and you know all the growth which has come till date is with the support of retail investors, like you, and yes, and now with institutions also coming in, but yes, there has been a strong faith by banks, lenders, and investors, which has been, you know, very helpful. And I believe that, you know, to some extent that we have been also doing well in that way. I hand over to Mayur for any closing comment.
Thank you everybody. I think as Deepak already kind of mentioned that, you know, we are on track to kind of, you know, double our loan book and significantly expand our geographical presence. I think first quarter is always muted for us. This is not a real reflection of what we hope to achieve in this financial year. we are already seeing signs of good pipeline getting generated in second quarter. And hopefully when we come back in the next quarter, I think we'll be showing much, much better growth. Hopefully with the monsoons going to be, as per predictions, on track, I think the rural demand is also expected to pick up. With all these factors, I think we're very excited with what is in store for us in the rest of the financial year. With South also coming up and with our loan book on the secured side significantly expanding, I think this will really add to kind of, you know, containing our credit cost on an overall basis. So net, I think it's a very exciting place. Obviously, we are seeing some headwinds, which is reflected in some of the credit cost, but I think this is a transition phase. In coming quarters, I think we'll see much, much better results on this side. Thank you so much.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ventura Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may all disconnect your lines now.